It was cheap, so we're trying it out just to see just how good it is. I kind of like it, but now I've made it sort of floppy. I don't know. Revelation chapter 2. been a few days since we've been in Revelation. Oh, Revelation 2. And we're going to start at, I got to find the verse. Oh, verse 8. All right. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we ask as we study your word that you open our hearts and minds to it. Give us discernment, Lord. But also, Lord, open our eyes to what it is meaning for us today, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, the Church of Smyrna was a persecuted group of people. And it's interesting if you noticed, I'll go ahead and say this, the Lord did not have anything bad to say about those guys. He knew they were persecuted. And they did, my page turned. And they did, he told them they were persecuted. He said, I know thy works, verse 9, tribulation and poverty. So apparently they were not a rich church. But how many of us in here are, man, yeah, I done broke this thing. How many of us in here are super rich? Now, I know there's some of us in here rich, but really and truly think about it. We are rich. If we're saved, we are rich beyond what you can even imagine. So now, this church, it was a persecuted church. And Jesus' message to them was really, really it was the message you want to hear. He didn't have any bad things to say. He only done this twice. To 2 out of 7 churches. That's sad. But anyway, that is true. And he told it to the believers who lived there because of what they were going through in their city. Now, Smyrna was not that far from Ephesus. And it was a, it's actually known as Turkey. There's a town over there. Izmir, I don't know, I may not be saying that right. But Izmir, Turkey, basically is what the town is now. It had, according to history, it had a library, it had sports, it had a big stadium. It had a theater type. You see, we think of those guys back in those days as running around, you know, with clubs. And listen, it wasn't that way. Abraham, where was Abraham from? Wasn't it Ur? Yeah, Ur. Listen, Ur was quite the fancy place. It was pretty fancy. I mean, it had libraries and all of that. Egypt. Egypt had hot and cold running water. Their toilets flushed. I mean, we think we're way up there compared to them. Really not. They wasn't quite that bad off. Now, the word Smyrna in the Greek, it means bitter. And then if you look up in Hebrew, it's myrrh, which is what they use the scents or the perfume, I guess is what you call it, that they use for when people were dead. That's a interesting deal that he brings this up, that when you look at it and you dig into Greek. You see, the Christians in Smyrna lived under a lot of persecution. And it, in other words, they lived under a lot of pressure. Now, when you crush this myrrh, it would send off this odor. So, you know, the Lord knew what they were going through in their life, trying to serve him. Now, if we look at it in our day, we may end up with some of this kind of persecution. I hope we don't, but I got a feeling we might. As I told you this morning, I read it in Fox News. I mean, it made Fox News. Of course, sometimes you don't take much to make Fox News, but Christians are getting more and more persecuted. Churches are being attacked more and more as the days go. We're beginning to be that hated people because, listen, Jesus said they hated him. Well, if we live as Jesus, they're going to hate us too. And that's what these guys were doing. They were living that way. Now, of course, Revelation 2, verse 8, it gives a description, I'll say, of Jesus. He says, unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, write, and he said, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Now, that's kind of an odd description of Christ. But he said that to them for a lot of reason. It was to encourage them. He said, the first and the last who was dead. But we know that Christ is alive. So he said, where's it at? Verse 8. He said, which was dead and is alive. We believe, and the Bible teaches, and I'll stand behind it, that baptism is a picture of the old self dying and the new self rising to walk in newness of life, but it's also showing the resurrection that's going to happen to us one of these days. One of these days there's going to be a resurrection that takes place, and we're going to go poof. It's going to be pretty quick, according to 1 Corinthians 15. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye, and I used to know exactly what that was, but I don't have Sammy here to tell me anymore. He used to tell me the exact figures of what a twinkling of an eye was. It's so many milliseconds. But this city had been destroyed many times by invasions, by earthquakes, but the people stuck to it and they rebuilt it. And the believers in Smyrna, they needed to hear what Jesus said there. We need to understand that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but he is also alive again. He rose again, and because of that, hey, that gives us encouragement because one of these days, if the rapture tarries, the Lord tarries, some of us are going to die. But we need to understand those loved ones that we have seen pass on, if they're saved, we're going to see them again. One of these days, they're going to come back with Jesus and to get their body because there's going to be a bodily resurrection. And so you don't go to the grave and sleep. You're not laying there in some grave, laid back, waiting on Jesus. You know, you see that a lot of times on tombstones, asleep in Jesus. And it sounds good, but you're not asleep, you're with Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul said that, so the way I look at it, if I die, boom, I'm present with the Lord. And that should be a blessing for us, and it should be an encouragement. And I'm sure it encouraged those guys of Smyrna to hear that, because they were getting persecuted. They were seeing people die for the for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so I think it's important that we realize that. And when we're in tribulation, man, that's a heaviness on us. But we need to realize we've had people over the years, and we can go back and read about them, that were under much persecution, but they made it through. Don't think you're the only one that's ever been in persecution. You're not. And matter of fact, Jesus was under a lot of persecution. Now, he says in, there it turned again. That's all right. Keeps me cool up here, though. He said, I know thy works and tribulation. They were under a lot of pressure and poverty. Now, most of us here has never really known real poverty. I mean, I don't know, anybody, because I don't know your whole history. You ever lived in a box? I've always had a bed somewhere to go to. But I know some people that live in a box. And some of them choose that, some of them don't. But I've been to been third world country. I know others have. Look, you see people living in real poverty. You know, and me and Brother Ron Ludekaus was talking, and some of the places he's been to in the Amazon, and Barry Vault and Roetta Vault, they go down in the Amazon, and they go back into some of those places, and they're living in little huts, and they have no idea what electricity is. And if you showed them a Snicker bar, they'd be like, what's that? They wouldn't even know what to do with it. You know, we're a blessed people. But it really, when you look it up, they were in complete destitution. They were in bad shape. They endured verbal abuse. You ever had any verbal abuse? My wife had some verbal abuse the other day from witnessing down on the strip. One thing I have to, as far as I know, none of our children had any verbal abuse, I don't think. There was some looks like, but I got to hand it to most of those people. They were decent to our young people that were down there handing out Bibles on the boulevard. We didn't take, well, yeah, we did. Jesse Sudo went down to Fremont with her mom and dad when we went down there. But actually, Sunday was a good day to be on Fremont Street. I'm not kidding. There was a difference, daylight and dark. And I just hand it to the fact that, you know what? It had something to do with being the Lord's day. Because Friday down there was not very good and was not very friendly. Now, you might as well get... How would I say it? You might as well get used to verbal abuse. It's going to get, when we're witnessing for the Lord, when we're living for the Lord, get used to some verbal abuse, because it's getting worse and worse. And it's going to get worse. And so, man, this thing, I done messed it all up, Will. I tore it up. I didn't just tear it up, I tore it up. That's a difference, you know. That's a southern term for tearing it up bad. But it's hanging on. But we might as well get used to it, because it's coming. And the Lord says we're going to be persecuted the more we live like Christ. These people were persecuted, and the Lord told them, he said, just hang on. Stay faithful. Now, he made some promises, which is a good thing. It's good when we got promises come. I like the promises of the Lord. Amen. Because as I've said, listen, we get promises. We can see the promises that the Lord's already blessed in this nation. He's blessed the United States. And, he's blessed each of us. How many of us got to eat today? Yeah, how many of us didn't eat today? Not by choice. We are blessed. He had some promises, and those guys, I'm sure that they were looking forward to those promises. Let me find where I'm at. I know, at verse 9, I know thy works, tribulation, poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast you into prison. I'm hoping I don't go to prison. But it could happen. I don't plan on it happening, but it could. He said, cast you into prison. You may be tried. There may be some times that we're going to be on trial. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. I'm going to mention that here in just a second. We'll get there in a minute. Now, I would want Jesus to say, hold on just a bit longer, because that's basically what he was telling them. Hold on just a bit longer. Now, when I first started really paying attention in church, I was hearing about the rapture. Oh, there's going to be a rapture. You guys better get your life straight. And they'd screaming and hollering and rocking, and my father-in-law rocked the pulpit. And I'm like, the world don't seem that bad to me. But it was, compared to what he grew up in. Now, compared to what I grew up in, man, we've went downhill bad. And it's been in a hurry. And when we read the book of Revelation and we know what the ending is in here, we know where it's got to go. Now, I told some people here a while back, I said, and I've told you, I don't want to sound selfish, but I was not really hoping it'd fall apart in my time. But it is. We're coming to a time in our lives that we're seeing things that is unreal. We're seeing evil. It's not just hid anymore. It's blatantly in your face, and they do not care. They're not concerned with it. They're bringing it out, and it's just in the wide open. And, well, now they're doing satanic stuff at elementary schools. They got a daycare. I forget the town now. It's right here on the eastern side of Colorado. They advertise that in the afternoon, if moms and dads can't pick their children up, they can come to their little daycare thing, and it's for kindergartners in first and second grade, and it's all based on Satan. And it's stories about how great he is. And that he doesn't want to harm you, and it's wild what's going on now. And it's in our face. Look at verse 10. He says, fear none of these which thou shalt suffer. We don't need to fear these things that we're going to suffer. That's easy to say because we're not there. It's going to take a lot. But I'm going to be honest with you. What we really need and what these guys needed, and I think they had, because apparently they had it, because you read nowhere in those few verses, the Lord says, I know thy works, but he didn't come back. I got a few things against you. Because he said that about Ephesus. I got some things against you. He didn't say that about Smyrna. He said, I know thy works. I know your persecution, your tribulation you're going through. I know your poverty that you're facing. So apparently, they had something that we need to take heed to. And I'm going to be honest with you, it was a relationship with Christ. See, in order for us to be able to stand in the face of persecution, now hang on a minute. Let me back up a second. I want you to understand something. There is a difference in defending yourself. I'm not one of these passive type people, okay? That's kind of giggles. I was raised by a Marine. Somebody verbally abuses me, I walk away. I ain't got a problem. Don't lay your hand on me. My dad always told me, they can cuss you, scream at you, whatever you want. He said, you leave them alone, walk off. He said, it takes more of a man to walk off than it does to turn around and verbal back. And I've always tried to keep that. And I've always tried to live that way. But he also raised me. He said, but if they lay a hand on you, he said, now, son, you do what you need to do. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that I'm not a passive person. I do not think Christians have to be the little passive people. There are some pastors out here, some of them I know, and they say the Bible teaches this, and I'm sorry it don't. This thing is irritating because I think I broke it. There, I'll keep it right here. This will work. I'll just hold it. So, but what we need to do, the closer relationship that we have with Christ, the easier it is going to be for us to stand up in the face of persecution. It's not going to be easy for us, but the closer relationship we have with Christ, the easier it's going to be to stand that, to take the abuse. And there may come a time that we get to a point in our life that there ain't going to be no more fighting back. And we may be taken into prison. It's been over the years, lots of people have been. And but the closer relationship we have with Christ, the easier it's going to be. Now, How is verse 10 a good thing? Think about that for a minute. How is this any really good news? It is important for us to remember God never promises us that we're going to have an easy life. Has anybody ever told you, well, let's do it this way. Have you read in the Bible, I'll put it that way, that because you're saved, because you go to church, because you're tithing and you're living for God, has it said in the Bible, have you read it anywhere that everything's just going to be smooth? No. Now, I'll be up front with you. It was in there for the Israelites. The Lord told the Israelites, he said, here's the promised land. I'm going to give it to you. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to plant. It's all there. But you got to stay on the straight and narrow. But they couldn't do that. He gave the Israelites some promises that we don't have. He never told us, and these preachers that preach this, but he never told us it's going to be, if you're living just right for the Lord, it's going to be, you're going to have great health. You're going to have great wealth. Road's going to be smooth. And they'll tell you, well, if you're suffering, you must not be living right. That ain't true. That's a lie. It ain't. Listen, I ain't read it. Matter of fact, it's just the contrary. It's just the opposite. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, we will suffer persecution. And the more so as we see the day approaching. And that day, I don't believe is that far off. 1 Peter 5:8, it tells us that we need to be very careful in our life. We need to be watchful because the devil is walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's going to find the weak Christian. He's going to find the one that doesn't have the relationship that you ought to have with Christ. He's going to throw stuff out there that he knows is going to possibly trap you. He's not going to give you something that ain't going to affect you. He's not going to tempt you with that. He's going to tempt you with what he knows affects your mind and your heart. And we need to be careful with that. That's why the Bible tells us we need to be watchful for what's going on around us. And it's not hard to see that what's going on around us is not the best thing. Now, he says at the end of that verse, verse 10, he says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Now, there's a lot of people think that the crown of life, you already had that because, well, I got saved, I'm going to have a crown of life. I don't think so. The more I study it, I don't think so. Because these people were saved. But he told them, be faithful and you'll receive a crown of life. I think it's more leaning more towards those that are persecuted. He said, be faithful to me. You're going to get this crown. That gives us something to look forward to. It's a special reward that is in heaven that waits for Christians. And honestly, it waits for Christians who have suffered some extreme persecution. Now, you just got to study it and read it for yourself. We got a lot of rewards waiting on us. And the more we serve the Lord, the more rewards we're going to have. But I think that's what that means. You see, and we're living in a period of history that Americans have never seen. And we discuss these things with each other. And somebody asked me the other day, well, actually told me the other day, you know, in Matthew 7, it says, straight is the gate, narrow the way, and then there's the broad way. The outreach we did for the Super Bowl really, really opened your eyes to that. When you're down there in the midst of it, I don't want it. Not interested in God. A few of them said a few choice things. It really brings out a truth that we need to realize. It says, few there be that find it. I don't know how many people's going to heaven. I know of how many babies have been murdered up till now. They're going to heaven. That's millions. I've talked to just about everybody in here. I know that you know the Lord's your Savior. You're going to heaven. But I run across a lot of folk that I don't think they're going to heaven. Matter of fact, I talked to some that, well, no, I don't think I'm going to get there. One lady told me, she said, I said, do you think you'll go to heaven when you die? No. I mean, at least she was honest. She was selling Raiders hats. And I don't forget, me and Gayton stood there and talked to her for a moment. And then all of a sudden, she let me know she was done in a very nice way. She said, well, thank you for your time. I was like, yo, you know. But honestly, it brings out a reality. But what we have to do, we got to remember, Sandy and I were in Somerset, Kentucky for a little while. What was that old guy's name? Anyway,
we were talking about leading people to the Lord, and he told her, he said, Missy, he said, listen, he said, you can tell a lot of people, but you ain't going to save them. He said, you're not going to get them all saved. Amen. He said, and we have to grab that. We got to grasp that reality that not everybody wants it. But we've also got to remember that they're not going to come to it until God draws them anyway. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe that there are certain people saved and certain people, you know, are born saved and certain people are born going to hell. I don't believe that. I believe salvation is offered to every living soul there ever has been or ever will be. But God draws them first. He said, I'll draw all men. He's got to draw them to them. We have to remember when we're witnessing to people, it may not be their day. They may not be hearing from the Holy Ghost that day. But we don't ever know what day that's going to be. You hand them a track, and if they don't throw it away, it could be 5 years down the road and they stumble over it and it shows up the perfect time. You know, that's a real blessing. We need in America and Wagon Wheel, we need to be prepared for possible persecution. We really do. And the way to do that is to build that relationship with the Lord. And we need to remember the Lord's promise. The Lord's promise is, hey, you'll receive a crown of life. Now, the second death, what's that about? The second death is spiritual death, or eternal separation from God. You see, that is a problem that awaits people who don't know Christ as their Savior. It's that simple. It's not nothing hard. The second death, if you're here or in the sound of my voice and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that's what he's talking about. When a person leaves this world, there is no appeals. You can't appeal it. You can't say, well, I don't like this idea. I should have listened. It's only on this side of eternity that you can make those decisions. Now, if you're a Christian, though, we really don't have anything to fear. Now, let me say that differently. Well, maybe not. I'm not out here just aching to die. God did not make me to die. God made human beings to want to live. He put that in you. To want to live. And you can see that when people are on their deathbed, they'll fight all the way to the bitter end. And then finally they'll back up and say, okay. You know, and I think the Lord gives that to them. But we don't have to fear the fact of dying, because if we're saved, if we've trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, listen, we're going to pass from here to there that quick. We're never even going to know it. Now, I will say I'm kind of scared about how I'll die. I figure I'll fall over out in the mountains somewhere and the coyotes come up one night. They lick you the first night. Yeah, they sniff around and lick on you. The second night, we won't talk about that. But anyway, no, I don't know that. They may attack you the first night. I have no idea. I always figure that's what would happen to me. It'd be some long, drawn-out thing, you know. You're laying there all broken up and something eats your foot, and then it comes back later, you know. Whenever I pass on, I would like it to just be, boom, gone. But listen, the Lord don't always promise that. Some people go to sleep, and they wake up in heaven. That'd be ideal. I've known some people that suffered many, many days, but nonetheless, I have never, to this day so far, met a child of God that they they tried to live. They didn't just give up. But then they come to a point and they said, you know what, I'm okay. I'm fine with what God has. God's ready for me. He can take me. You know, and that's a real blessing for us. So really, we think about it. What kind of commitment does Jesus require of you and me? What we should learn from what we're studying, and I know we're going very slow, but that's okay. We got lots of, we got until the rapture happens. The main thing we ought to get from all of this stuff that we're going through is, who can I reach with the gospel of Jesus? Now, if we don't go out and knock on a door, or if we don't hand a tract to somebody, if we don't ever do any of that, we're not doing, honestly, what we're supposed to be doing. Who can I reach with the gospel of Christ? If the gospel of Christ is hid, if we're hiding it, we're not hiding it from saved people. They're already saved. We're hiding it from people out there that are blind by Satan. And trust me, Satan blinds you. He blinds you. There's people, I talked to some people down there in Vegas during the Super Bowl outreach. They give me all kinds of weird things, but they're every one of them are searching for truth. But the devil's got them blinded. They think truth is in a bottle. They think truth is in a drug. They think truth is in whatever else they tie themselves up into to get their minds off of reality. But we have the truth. And you say, well, you already said, Brother Jim, that they may not accept it. They may not. But I have no idea what day they may say, oh, that's what I need. And that's what we need to do. We need to make sure that we are offering it to them. The last thing, and you need to think about it seriously, and none of us know the answer to this. There's nobody in here that can give me the answer. Are you willing to be obedient to the point of death? We don't know that. But I can tell you this. Most of you know about Columbine years ago in Thornton, Colorado, Denver. Guy walks up to that girl and he said, denounce Jesus. And she said, no. And he went, boom. He killed her right there. She would not deny Jesus. But then you had Peter, who walked along beside Christ for 3 years. And when it all boiled down to it and come down to the bitter end, he says, blank, blank, I don't know him. So we can't answer that, because later Peter says, don't crucify me the same way you did my Lord and Savior. Do it upside down. He was crucified, according to history, Peter was crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way my Savior was. But you see the difference? And before he got his life the way it ought to be with Christ, you see, he didn't have, even though he was with Jesus every day, just about every day, he did not have the relationship that he needed. But afterwards, he did. You see, it's all about the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. It's so, so important that we have that relationship. And the only way to build that relationship is through his word and through his church. That's the way we build a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And don't get bummed out when you mess up, because you're going to mess up. We're humans. We got a sin nature. We're going to mess up. But he says, if you do, he said, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, cleanse you of all unrighteousness. picks us right back up, puts us back on our feet again, and away we go. And then, boom, we mess up again. And he does it over and over and over. But the closer, you see, I've said this many times. There's where you were. Don't stay right here. Don't stay right here. Well, I'm saved. I go to church. Don't stay right here, because it's very easy to fall right back off the side of the road again. Move. And the only way we can move further and further from that danger zone is to walk closer and closer with Christ. That's what it takes. Sister Diane, let's have an invitation tonight. If you would all rise, and every head bowed and every eye closed.